results were that for the amendment of the addition of any other party designated by the court, there were 3 yeas and 5 nays. We are now ready for...
Just the opposite. Was that, okay, 5 yeas, right? 3
yeses and 5 noes.
So the amendment about any other party designated...
Is out. We now have a motion in front of us.
To accept.
To accept the...
I did, but there's two.
I'm trying to say the whole motion.
Accepted, I suppose.
As written with the deletion of among other factors on line 3 and line 5. You ready for the question? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. We're now ready to proceed to page 12.
Okay, can I consider what you just voted on 08RL, hard draft.
Except you're supposed to reorganize the whole section.
Yeah. And bring it back. And bring it back.
Something like that. But
well,
you know, if we can't go off tonight and get together pretty quickly and disagree, we're not going to do that. It's not worth it. I don't think I'll do that.
The following material is based on our lengthy discussion of last meeting on the world material.
Right off, I think we need to check down in line 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, when we specify that, you know, that the court's going to return the kid home unless they find that he's going to be endangered in the manner specified in AS 4710-010A2. I, for one, would like to see what that says, and is that a section we've been messing around with?
Probably. Did you have 47 down there?
I heard it. Oh, well, it won't be in there because this is under the child need of aid concept.
So that's why.
Okay, so then can we get our 572 and look and see what that says?
Well, I've got one copy. One more. It'll be the last one.
No, I have one at home. I just can't.
Okay, 82. Well, 1082.
What's it say?
Okay. We can go back to Senate Bill 572. First of all, 4710010A would read, proceedings relating to a minor under 18 years of age residing or found in the state are governed by this chapter except as otherwise provided in this chapter when the court finds a minor. 2, to be a child in need of aid as a result of the child, and then subsection A, having no caring parent, guardian, custodian, or relative available and willing to care for him, B, having suffered or being likely to suffer imminent physical injury inflicted upon him by other than accidental means, C, being in need of medical treatment to cure, alleviate, or prevent his suffering, a serious physical injury, and his parents are unwilling to provide the medical treatment, D, having suffered physical injury or appears a substantial risk that the child will suffer imminent physical injury as a result of conditions created by his parent, guardian, or custodian, or the failure of his parent, guardian, or custodian adequately to supervise him, E, suffering serious emotional damage evidenced by failure to thrive, severe anxiety, depression, or withdrawal, or aggressive behavior or hostility towards others, or is in need of medical treatment to cure, alleviate, or prevent his suffering that serious emotional damage. F, having been sexually abused by his parent, guardian, or custodian, or having been sexually abused as a result of failure on the part of his parent, guardian, or custodian to adequately and reasonably supervise him. G, committing delinquent acts as a result of pressure, guidance, or approval from parent, guardian, or custodian. H, being habitually absent from home. Or I, having been released by his parents or guardian to the department for adoptive purposes. Okay,
because should that not say, see, we're talking here about judgments and orders, and then we're talking about a review hearing. So when I try to get that sequence in my head, it says to me, the child would have already been adjudicated delinquent or child in need of aid. And now we're talking about just a child in need of aid. So there has already been an adjudication.
Right.
Now we're talking about a review hearing, which would have come after the disposition, right? I mean, you don't have to review hearing. You don't have a review hearing right. between adjudication and disposition. You don't have a review hearing until sometime after disposition. So we got to assume he's been in placement all that time. Because this is saying the child shall be returned home after review hearing unless the court finds by a preponderance of the evidence that the child will either, it should to me say, either will again be endangered or will continue to be endangered or something. Because the assumption here is that the court has already found him to be endangered unless it's adjudicated an independent child. So shouldn't this say will again be endangered or will continue to be or something like that?
Will continue to be endangered.
Okay. Oh, further endangered. No. Well.
Well, because see, the assumption though could be that like they placed them and then they've been working with the parents and now they're all better and they got all their problems solved. And so they're going to put the kid back. Unless the state proves that by preponderance of the evidence that problems still exist and the parents will endanger the child. It's just somehow the wording seemed to me to not be specific enough.
Well, what would be wrong with saying we'll continue to be endangered, Andy?
I don't see any problem. I mean, the reason why I have it...
Will again be endangered or something, it seems to me.
Again.
Sounds
much
better.
Will be again endangered?
Will again.
Because that is why they took him out in the first place.
Let me, I'm sorry I didn't get in any comments before we started discussing this, but when I was originally drafting this, I wasn't sure if I was going to, you know, put this under F, subsection F, because it deals with review hearing. And then I wasn't sure actually if you should just pull what is now subsection F out and make a new section, like, you know, what we're talking about, ONE-03 or something like that, because I find this is getting cumbersome with an am that relates back to an F. Maybe David, depending on how you vote on this in final form, David Walker and I would have to figure out exactly.
The message I got in our discussion on page 11 was that you and David Walker are supposed to be judgment and orders, and if you have to divide it up, let's see it that way. Or that you're the ones who are going to get it all together and make some recommended changes to it.
Mm-hmm.
And that also, I mean, since it was about 4710.080, we on page 11, I would assume that would also cover page 12. Is that the consensus of the group?
Okay. I just wanted to mention that.
Excuse me, Madam Chair. I'm still having trouble with this change. If we on line 4 said evidence that the child will be endangered in any manner specified.
And that's a good
point.
Because
I'm afraid that, at least in my head, I could see going back and looking at the same set of circumstances, and yet other circumstances may have come up.
I don't think you want that, because the child's been brought before the court for one reason. Put any manner specified. And okay, what, if the child's brought before the court on a sexual abuse type thing, then you're really holding something against the parent. Let's say it was emotional
neglect. Plus the adjudication has been brought.
But there's been no adjudication on the subsequent thing.
That's right.
Right.
Okay. Yeah,
the court hasn't considered those facts previously.
Right.
So it's not
right.
Just
leaving it the way it is.
I mean, I think I hear Fudge's problem in it, but I don't see a better way to solve it.
Well, because you see, what my first response was when I read this was it ought to say, will continue to be endangered in the manner which initially brought it before the court. That's really what we've got to say here. That's what we're trying to say, because that's all that other new Supreme Court decision will now let you do is the adjudication must be brought on only the facts alleged in the petition, and then you can't, once you get in there, start messing around with a little additional
say,
information.
Well,
oh, but we forgot this, but now she's doing that.
Can't we just say that, or does that...
Well, that's what I'm wondering. Can we,
rather than go back to...
Because, yeah, see, even if you say in the manner specified, that's why I want to check 4710.010, because it lists them all, including delinquency. But But this limits to child in need of aid, so it seemed to me something was wrong with the wording.
Okay, you want this to apply to delinquency too?
No.
No.
But I was thinking it did.
No.
It doesn't have any.
No,
because you just said that if the parent is forcing the child into delinquency, then they can do it.
Okay, what was your original wording? I mean, you had a good phrase there.
In the manner which originally formed the basis for his original adjudication or something. But that's the idea. That if he will again be endangered or will again, be subject to the harm that formed the basis for the original adjudication. Well, see, not the way it's written, because look at the list here. In any matter specified in AS 47, that's the point, Jay. He might have been adjudicated originally on a child abuse.
No.
Any goes out and the goes back in.
Okay, any goes out and the goes back in.
The child will again be endangered in the manner.
But it says in the manner specified. It doesn't say in a specific manner. It says all of them, right?
Well, can you say in the specific manner as specified in?
What's wrong with that?
Does that give you back to your original charge? It does not.
If you have to specify that the only basis on which he cannot be returned is if once again the same harm that got him adjudicated in the first place will continue to occur.
Well, what would
say
that?
That those factors.
You can't say in the petition. In the adjudication. The basis for the adjudication will continue to exist. That's what you want to say.
Okay, in the manner in which the child was adjudicated under...
Under 47-10-010.
Okay, in the manner in which the child was adjudicated under AS 47-10-010. Like that?
By virtue of which, or something.
Can you say, the court finds by preponderance of the evidence that those factors specified in the original adjudication under AS blah, 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 continue to exist, or something, or present, or, something. Implying that they're still there. Leave out the child will again be in danger, just say that. Those factors specified in, I don't know if the original adjudication.
Then you have a sort of court looking at it a little differently. In one instance, it's looking at particular, let's say, home situation or something like that, and not necessarily looking at endangerment. It just could overlook.
Well, that was the original adjudication, wasn't it?
Well, the original adjudication was looking at, not endangerment or imminent harm.
So you're looking at those factors specified in the original adjudication under AS 47, blah, blah, blah.
The basis for the child's adjudication continues to exist. What would be the matter with that?
The basis upon which the child was adjudicated continues to exist.
Yeah. Then that says it generally enough that it could be the kid or the parent or both.
Yeah.
What have we said now? What did you say, Marge?
Well, we're saying, what about using, if the kid is returned home, unless the court finds that the...
Unless the court finds by preponderance of evidence, that the basis upon which the child
was adjudicated
under such and such
continues
to exist.
That's really what you have to say.
All right. Let me see if I've got this. Unless the court finds by a preponderance of evidence that the child was adjudicated.
The child was adjudicated. Under.
Continues to exist.
Yeah.
Okay? And that goes...
In lieu of those lines like three, or
just right after that.
Okay, are we, how about we continue to exist if we turn it off?
No, because see, that's too speculative, and then that'll be too...
It's all speculative. Let me see if I got it right. In the case of a child in need of aid, the child shall be returned home to review hearing under F this section unless the court finds by a preponderance of evidence that the basis for which the child was adjudicated under continues to exist.
Upon which the child was adjudicated.
Upon which. Upon which
the child was adjudicated under 47.
Oh, under 47. Mm-hmm. Okay. On 0102. And then you do exist. Then do we cross out if returned home?
Yes.
Did
you
leave
it as
specified in the case? Yeah, I think that would be intent, although I guess we didn't really get very specific. Scratch if
returned home. All right, we now have a motion. Well, that's an amendment. Can I hear a motion on that statement?
Can I just say I move that we adopt that rewriting of the first portion of section M there, as you just said it. Do I have to redo it? Or do I have to say it all again?
Ready for the question. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. All right. There is a motion on the floor to accept M in total.
Has that been seconded?
Yes.
Okay, then I want a little bit of discussion, please. There are two things that bother me in line, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. You have to say the department supervision.
Yes.
As opposed to casework supervision.
Yes, I agree with that.
In line 6.
My child is returned department.
Yeah.
My child is returned the department's supervision. And it should say for a period not to exceed 2 years. And that's all. And I'd scratch the date of commitment to the department, because then you're going to get into this whole business of, is a temporary order considered the commitment date or a final order? Or what about the year that passed between the adjudication and the disposition? One was an order. What date are you going to use? You don't want to get into that.
So you cross off if the minor is not returned home?
Well, no, wait, I'm coming to that. Is all I'm willing to talk to right now.
What are you crossing off?
From the date of commitment.
Oh. From the date of commitment
after
to the
year.
Okay.
Period. Just for a period not to exceed 2 years. Period.
Okay.
Now, those two glared at me right off. Now it seems to me we got to look at the rest of it. If the minor is not returned home, then the court must establish on record. What services have been provided to offer the police system? Seems to me that 2 and 4 are satisfied again. Talk about value judgment words. We went through that all last time.
I have a question on the first one. Again, going back to the thing with the apartment. Period after 2 years. You know, we never stayed here. A review hearing can be held at any time. What if the review hearing was held 1 year and 11 months? Does that mean that the order expires at the end of the 2 year? That's what it says there. Commitment can only last 2 years. So what's the point in even going through the process if that, in fact, is going to be the limit? You see, I know we set limits in another section under 572. What I'm saying is we never specify when this review hearing has to happen and so on. And so here we're stating it.
Yes, we did under 572.
Well,
yes, we did the review hearing.
Well, what I'm saying is you can have a review hearing at any time. And
yeah.
I'm saying somebody can ask for it, and then we set a limit of it only lasting 2 years. And maybe that if it happens at 1 year and 11 months, you may want to continue custody for a lot longer than that.
Well, this isn't talking about custody. This is talking about the department supervision.
When the child is returned home.
That's right. The custody could go back to the parents.
Okay, but anyway, even the... Okay.
That was my original thought is when we started messing around with this one, wasn't it?
But I'm wondering if we want to make it from the date of commitment then. You know, was that the point of what we were saying before? Was it that we didn't want supervision to continue beyond 2 years beyond the review hearing? Because when you say commitment,
you're going back to the original date of the order, which made me...
I'm just concerned here. I wonder if after the word 2 years, the phrase something like without a review hearing would clarify that. There may be a need for supervision to continue for 5 years for a child as well, but at least every 2 years there has to be a review hearing.
We've said every one in 572, haven't we?
That's right.
Where does it say 572?
Is this the point to put that in? Because you're talking about a review hearing and the child being returned home and the supervision on a continuum for no longer than 2 years, correct?
Yeah.
But the supervision may have to continue longer. There may be just cause for it in some cases continuing.
Well, just supportive supervision sometimes around the family stay together.
Sure.
You know, spending the resources on having a case before the family ongoing. The child's out of home,
right?
Well, then what you're talking about is, this is a little different. Then let's talk about casework services ordered by the court. This does not say they are ordered by the court. It just says they may continue. See, that bothers me a little, too.
I don't even know if we need to speak to it. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Maybe it's inappropriate in this section, you know, speaking to something that really doesn't even need to be in here, because we have addressed those kinds of things that in other sections there were just money in the water.
That's right, because we've spoken to custody with the assumption that supervision would go on as long as custody did, and the review hearing is adequately.
And the department can ask for.
So you're suggesting that we cut out when a child is returned, the department supervision may continue.
Yeah, I don't, unless somebody can explain to me why that's in there and what the point was, I can't.
I think we've covered it several other places.
Yeah.
I do too.
That one sentence.
Shall we cross that out?
I make a motion that we cross out that sentence.
Second.
Is this, oh, I'm kidding. The motion is to cross out the second sentence in M. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. If the minor is not returned home, the court should establish on the record, et cetera, et cetera.
I'd like to have it say something like the extent of the parent's cooperation with the treatment plan that we've spoken to all along. This business about who's satisfied and who is not satisfied really bothers me. And facilitating reunions, we spoke at length about if the plan states exactly what people have to do to change to get their kid back, then to me, if they don't get their kid back, then all the court must document is what's been wrong with the plan, who hasn't fulfilled their responsibilities, or was the plan a mess, or what.
I'm not sure what you're really suggesting. I mean, you want to say what's that, John?
Stretch out the words provided for, to or offered to the parent, subject to the word utilized, so that it reads, what services have been utilized to facilitate reunion?
By the parent?
Well, I guess.
I mean, are you addressing that to the parent? Are you addressing that
to everybody involved? To the whole situation?
To
eliminate number two.
We are.
John offered that as an amendment.
Okay. Yes.
Right. I'd like to ask whether you'd be willing to see that as a 1A or, you know, another number. What services have been provided to or offered to the parents to facilitate the union? What services have been utilized that were provided or offered?
That's better.
Mm-hmm. Aren't we trying to find out not only what was offered to them, but also what they did about it?
That's right. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What services have been provided to or offered to the parents? What services
been utilized?
Which were provided or
Yeah, wouldn't it cover it if you just said what services we need to offer?
By the parents, or?
Because they may go out and get their own.
And so that's a substitute for all of two, right? Number one is remaining the same. Number two is, has been changed to what services were utilized by the parents.
Yeah, I think the visitation clause should stay.
So we have a motion on the floor.
Hold on.
Let's vote on one and two. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Okay. Number.
I think three should stay the visitation.
Yeah.
I have a question. Is it necessary to tack on? Can somebody explain to me why it's necessary to tack on or has been infrequent?
Yeah, because the department was saying way back, they're having this big hassle with the court about the court ordering that visitation be set up like three times a week. But it might be that the parent works at the time that the division is willing to set up the visitations. So the parent would have an opportunity here to say, you know, that's the only time they offered me and I couldn't make it. Also, the idea that they may have placed the kid in Kenai and the parent can't get there.
But wouldn't that be covered under any reasons why visitation has not occurred?
Oh, yeah, probably.
$2.50 can't be there. One foster child to be visited three times a week.
I think I just have some problem with the or has been infrequent implication.
It was just meant has not occurred in that at all. Okay. Yeah, but see, I think has not occurred in that they haven't visited at all. Okay. Or the other is they visited but not as frequently as somebody thought they ought to.
Or maybe they were irregular.
Yeah.
But you look at the book, you have to say the
extent
to
which the parents have.
It just seemed to me, maybe it's
to me, it's not clear.
Okay, I guess you're right.
So we're closing off or been right?
No, that's right, when you add these two extents.
You know, the only thing about that is, just the idea of extent to me indicates numbers, and that doesn't necessarily indicate the quality of visitation. You use the word extent with which they visited. You know, someone might visit every day of the week, and it may be terrible, you know. So I'm wondering if it shouldn't just be something about a report on the visitations of the parents with child, you know, because it could be they visit, you know, infrequently, but they have good visitations that's accomplished, you know, a lot, whatever else. And somebody else may visit every day and be terrible, you know, constantly fighting the kids and causing problems with foster parents. You know.
That kind of goes with four, though, if you brought that idea do away with four.
Is this the department's report on the extent to which,
you know,
court will ask for these facts.
You're going to ask the parents the same thing?
I'm not saying the extent can't be part of the report of visitation,
no.
But I'm just saying the way we've got it, it looks like extent is a bit, that way you're just getting the numbers of it.
Yeah, see, the reason this has to be on the record is then so that the parents can counter any documentation that the department might be or have any.
So you're still giving the parents an opportunity to say, all right, I only visited that child twice because, but we had a very good time while we were at it.
And the department might say, no, they didn't, because you see, that's what the whole thing is all about.
Yeah, that's why you're having to hear that.
How do you say what the quality of a visit is?
I'm just saying, making it more general to report on the visitation. You're really setting up a category that has to be covered. You know, extent can be one part of a category. And any report on anything usually includes that kind of thing, you know, extent of what happened.
Yeah, but I think what we were trying to do here is make the department put enough on record that the parents then had half a chance of coming back and saying, oh, wait, you know, this is our side of it. And it seems to me like you add all that in there, three sounds fine the way it is. You've got ample basis for listing all your reasons why you couldn't visit or how good your visits were or whatever. Or if the department scheduled you at the wrong time.
So four gets into the quality a little bit. If you take four out like you do two, then you would be losing that quality.
Well, but see, that's my point, is that, that's what continues to happen, is all these subjective, opinionated kinds of things of five workers' opinion. And I think, and that's one of Wall's major points, is that it's time we got down to some concrete, verifiable, clear messages.
But he had Belfast in there, didn't he?
John?
I would move to amend that by substituting for all of three of these words, the visitation history. That would include the number as well as what happened.
And
the parents could turn it.
And that also allows the parent to say how it went. The visitation history between parent and child.
Parents.
John.
I second that. So
all right.
If you pass the motion.
Therefore, we cross out three, right? And so this is substitute. Ready for the question? Three is now being substituted with the visitation history between parents and child. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Point four.
I move to strike point four.
Second.
Question.
All those in favor of striking number four, signify by saying aye.
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 I move to retain five.
Second.
We don't need a motion to retain. My parliamentarian is saying over here.
Okay.
Right. Six.
Excuse me. It says if the minor is not returned, okay, it could be a continuation of the same service. I would say quite additional service. It could be the very same service.
Number six.
I think they ought to have to reject that. I really do. Yeah, I think we ought to retain six.
All right. That. All right, let's... yeah. Is there a second to that motion?
Second.
Before you vote, why don't I read it as it would be, hard draft?
Do you think you can really do that?
I'm sure I can.
All right.
Okay, here we go. 080M or whatever Dave Walker and I figure will be. In the case of a child need of aid, the child shall be returned home at the review hearing under F of this section unless the court finds by a preponderance of the evidence that the basis upon which the child was adjudicated under AS 4710-010A2 continues to exist. When a child is returned, the department supervision, if the minor is not returned home, the court shall establish on the record, one, what services have been provided to or offered to the parents to facilitate reunion, two, what services were utilized by the parents to facilitate reunion? Is that okay?
Mm-hmm.
Three, the visitation history between the parents and the child. Four, whether additional services are needed to facilitate the return of the minor to his parents. If so, the court may order such services. Five, when return of the child can be expected.
Andy, I got one word here and I messed it up. Way back up.
Mm-hmm.
Last line of M is, paragraph. The court, you read, the court shall establish. Is it should or shall, and does that make any difference?
Yeah, I don't think
that
you should in
the statute.
If the minor is not returned home,
the court, it says should.
Oh.
Are you
oh, okay, I'm sorry,
shall?
Yeah. Well, yeah. What, you...
I don't think
should is not, it makes it discretionary.
May.
Shall means it's mandatory. Which do you want?
Shall.
Okay.
Barbara.
I'm wondering if we, under the history, visitation history, do we want summary evaluation or history that we get off, which is listing dates?
Let's assume the court did not accept the difference of fact.
Okay, you were going to take a vote on it being final as I read?
Right. We're now ready to vote on it, final as read.
I'll so move.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Okay,
now 4710-230, page 13.
The last task force meeting wanted this to be drafted just to show the department, so the department would be accountable for demonstrating that it was trying to maintain the family unit. The only problem I find with this, this would be within the 230.
It's just powers of duty in the department.
Powers of duty in the department. This would be a new section in that. The problem I find with this is that it's sort of repetitive to what goes on, has gone on before, and what we just did as to the review hearings, because that will take into account this.
The motion would just be deleted, and basically it just means we've done that. We have cleared up other areas of the statute, which make this not necessary.
Is there a second to that motion? That emotion, I'm not that all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed? The motion carried. That's about a 5-minute coffee break. Okay, section 4710-290, definitions. Legal custody, residual parental rights and responsibility, commit, guardian,
the torch.
Guardian.
Has Vic Ilias distributed the definitions of the community
that's met? No.
I got one.
I'll do a couple copies.
You've got one?
Yeah,
well, I've got
two. I'll tell you who was in. Bradley could have been a professional boxer. He was really good. He's got a good pitch, but he's a good sight.
Specify in 9 that, external rights have been terminated. Of course, no rights remain with the parents at all. I just wonder, do we have to say that? Did we talk about this before? It seems to me that once we did, but I...
Yeah, we did. Some one parental rights have been terminated, I believe it added on.
That we said, we decided should be added on, just to be sure.
Yeah. At the last meeting we came up with, that wasn't really clear anywhere what was left. So, decided to define it.
Yeah, because of my May 28th memo, I didn't have, unless the parental rights were terminated, so at the June, at the June meeting, I believe it was added. My June 28th memo, Yeah, okay, it was added at the last, okay, the July, the last meeting, words unless the parental rights have been terminated were added.
Several questions. I guess I was struggling with trying to remember what all we decided last time. Didn't we discuss also the issue that what's the difference between legal custody and if you don't have legal custody, like what do I have of my kid that's just parental custody or custody or...
Legal custody.
I guess I'm still really fuzzy about that because the way we're defining it, see, if I have legal custody of my kid, then that says a court decree gave it to me. And it sure didn't.
Mm-hmm. Bring him into the world, you get legal custody over him. I don't care what any law says.
Well, it says here all subjects are in the video for any rights. Would this come in if there was some kind of legal thing going on?
Did you hear anything for the definition of parental rights and responsibilities?
I hear on 4 pages.
Well, they must become a man.
Yeah,
so I got two.
Legal custody.
Definition of residual parental rights to separate.
You may have to do a little sharing.
We have legal custody. We need residual parental rights.
Well, do some sharing.
Okay.
Please.
Garden.
Save the trees.
It's about relationships that are interfered with by society. He says these three: legal custody, guardian, residual parent rights, and in that order of more or less responsibility. And then in the chart going across the top where all of the possible situations involving a custody or a guardianship or parental responsibility, you can think of categories for them. And the letters, the T for the letters, appear on the right-hand side, A being for full responsibility, B for when parental rights have been terminated and no guardian has been appointed, and there are no living parents, C on when legal custody is not transferred, is a state there. This is a chart that's designed to enable us to see where there were gaps, perhaps, in the definitions that we come up with. And then the 3 pages that you have of definitions try to incorporate all of the secret categories set forth here. And if you take the definition for legal custody first, guardian second, residual parental rights in the third.
All right. Alternatives to the present definition. So we have the committee's definition as well as Andy's definition.
These are primarily taken from the New Mexico statute.
John, I'm having a little trouble getting to legal custody because it seems to me that what you're trying to say is that you could be both a legal custodian and a guardian and a parent.
That's right. It can be.
But if you're a guardian, then not in a case like that, only a guardian of the property.
Not necessarily. the guardian may be appointed to have certain responsibilities concerning whether the child assigned for military service and married, which are not the rights or responsibilities of the legal custodian.
Are you
and
advocating that we adopt that principle?
There are cases, I would think, when someone may have to make those decisions other than the natural parent.
You're implying that the legal custodian could not make, or you're suggesting they should not
make? Suggesting there are cases when they could not make them. The department, for instance, the Division of Corrections may have legal custody, but they are not the guardian.
This is not a practice here. That's what I guess is confusing me, not to my knowledge. But if there's no parent at all, the legal custodian takes over all the other responsibilities. If the parental rights are severed, if they are not, then the only other responsibility left is the guardianship of the property.
In all cases. We tried to think through all of those alternatives. And you may be right, just maybe hypothetically, but that's not the case.
If there were no parent. In other words, if there is a parent, unless parental rights are severed, parent automatically has all those rights which are not given to the legal custodian.
Is that in fact the case?
That's always been in practice since
the department is in certain cases given legal custody of the child.
Right.
That does not mean, though, that the department is necessarily the guardian of the child. There may be an uncle appointed as the guardian.
Only if there's no parent. I don't know of any case. Maybe other people do. I don't see other attorneys.
Well, there may not be any case yet, but I'm telling you it could be done. The department would be granted in custody of the child, and then, the child would be committed to the department. The department, let's say, then gives over to an agency institution in custody of the child, but the court happens to appoint a legal guardian. It could appoint a separate legal guardian. I find it sort of unlikely. I could see a guardian for the child's estate was, custodianship was made of stock. That is separate. But it is unlikely, and I would say, that a separate legal guardian of the person being appointed, I mean, that's really what a department is. It's a possibility, but I don't think we can cover every single possibility. Maybe I ought to just be in a kind of what I do for a second. I did it a little shorter. I changed number 8 in definitions only in the sense before task force wanted in the second line imposes upon the person or the department. And I put the guardian in explain why now, because in number 11 I define guardian in a way which no other state does, but which in fact entails the way the system works here. In Title 47, guardian means the person, agency, or institution which the child is placed with by the department, who for purposes of this chapter is an agent of the department in providing care and control of the child, or the person, agency, or institution appointed by the court for providing care and control of the child. Reason why I make that first phrase in 11 is that way, and incidentally I would change it only, I would have guardian mean for the purposes of this chapter, the person, and for the purposes of this chapter I move that forward. Because that's in fact what it is right now, an agency relationship between the department, state of Alaska, and whoever the state gives the custody of that child to, whether it is, let's say, Division of Corrections, which is part of the state, or a foster parent, or a Catholic charity, whatever. It's an agency relationship. Everyone I've asked in Juneau, and I've been on the phone, I've looked all throughout the laws of this state and other states to see if there's been anything to say whether it is an agency relationship or it isn't, and I find it's an agency relationship. And so thus, I'm just saying what the relationship is now, making it understood, and that thus the guardian is an agent, and just to, and okay, I was relating the agent of the department in providing care and control of the child, and so I'm relating it back to number 8, legal custody. So 11 relates back to legal custody, and sort of, and that 8 defining exactly, you know, how far that custody goes, protect, training, discipline, whatever. Or, and then I did take into consideration that something of the department doesn't always get custody. It could be, you know, the child's released to its parents, or parents, guardian, or other suitable person. So I have in that fourth line, comma, or the first agency or institution appointed by the court to providing care and control of the child. Rather than trying to define every instance, which John and Dick Ilias have tried to do, I took a simpler tack. What it is now, it may be a lot broader than you'd like, but for me, it's much easier to handle as an attorney. And I just know, after having seen all those other states, no one's really come up with a satisfactory definition. See, you know, I gave it that kind of a try.
Well, when you look back then at the sheet here, under the definition of guardian.
Are we going back?
Well, I was trying to compare the two to see, and that to legal custodian, to see what the differences are, and already...
And, okay, legal custodian, I would not define, and wherever it is in Title 47, I would eliminate. In Title 47, I found it only in, and not Title 4710, that chapter, juvenile court. I found the word custodian in only one section, and in 572, we added it all over. I would take it out, because... Why not, for the purpose of 47, just have one concept, guardian?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and that would entail whatever, you know, a custodian would do in the particular circumstances, because we're, for every term we add, we're creating, by implication, there are going to be differences, whereas if we just have one term, it can entail all that, or the court can specify, when it makes an order of guardianship, exactly what the guardianship is going to be.
But it doesn't give the guardianship now under the statute of the child to the department. It gives the custody of the child.
I know, but you see, what we're doing is, well, commit. It's committing to the department. So I've defined commit to transfer legal custody. Then you define legal custody as to what that means. And when you see in the word legal custody, my number 8, it mentions guardian. I define guardian as a certain thing. I tried to tie all those M's together so you won't see the word custodian.
The person having legal custody of the child is the one who determines where that child shall live or where his physical care shall be provided. that person providing that care is normally the, in the present context, is the law 47, the custodian. We want to get away from using that term. But it is the responsibility of the department or whoever has legal custody to designate who the custodian shall be, the custodian of the person. But leaving that up to regulation rather than putting it in the statute, the department would set forth certain criteria for that and set forth the responsibilities and privileges of that person delegating them to somebody caring for the child.
Well, yeah, I mean, the department could do it because it would know it is always responsible. It is, in fact, now, I do not know of any cases where, you know, let's say the department or, you know, an agent of the department, let's say, some foster parent is sued for some kind of negligence of a child, and the department saying, well, we weren't responsible because we gave custody of the child to this person. Well, I mean, if such a case came up, I'm sure the department would be liable, the state would be liable, because it is, in fact, the person who was committed, the child was committed to.
There's some legal question about that, I understand. For instance, I think I'm right in understanding that foster parents cannot get liability insurance to cover foster children, and the department refuses, or the state says it is not their responsibility to get liability for foster children.
They also, in many cases,
and how you solve
their
that?
Word is not accepted by a physician to treat the child under their care. There's been some investigation as well, I know by Cal Offerly, into the issue that John was speaking of, that the legal custodian of the department does not, in effect, have the right to promulgate all these regulations about what conditions, under which conditions, it will give the guardianship of this child to someone else. That's supposedly inherent in the whole business of placement, you know, that I give them to you. But that they don't have the right to designate the guardian with any real legal force or power.
John?
This is why on the guardian about the 8 or 9 counting down, we're designating that to be the specific responsibility of the guardian. Questions involving substantial legal significance concerning the child or other responsibilities of the guardian.
But see, then I get confused. Do you mean the guardian ad litem?
No, the guardian of the child.
Okay, but you see, again, I would. Let's go back to the hypothetical situation where there is a parent living, legal custody has been given to the department, but parental rights not severed, and a custodian appointed.
Guardian.
Guardian appointed. Excuse me, and a guardian appointed. No way, if there is a living parent whose parental rights have not been severed, is anybody else going to be able to give consent to that child's marriage, give consent to major medical treatment?
We're saying here that they can. We're putting that into the statute.
Well, then what's the point of residual parental rights?
Only adoption. It boils down to three things. Visitation rights, economic or economic responsibilities and consent to adoption.
But see, then look at the bottom line of your definition of guardian. You're saying that the department can vest in a guardian the right to consent to that adoption if parental rights have been terminated.
Not the department.
The last sentence.
No.
Well,
the
isn't that what you said? Well, I have to go way back up here. The rights and responsibilities of guardian and crew, but are not limited to. Then come way down to the end. And the authority to consent to the adoption of the child when the parent-child relationship has been terminated by court order or where there is no living parent.
Mm-hmm. And the court establishes the guardian, not the department. Don't confuse guardian and custodian.
Well, you see, I think that's what will happen, and that's what does happen, and that's the problem. See, then you're saying, okay, so then, see, what I get confused is, supposing there's a child here under a dependency petition, then you're saying the court has at its option
the appointment of both a legal custodian and a legal guardian. We shall split up all these rights between them, and then maybe we'll leave the right to consent to the adoption with the parent.
Yes. Well, if there's
I don't know why that's necessary.
Well, if the child, in the particular case you mentioned, it wouldn't be necessary. The legal custodian and the guardian would be the same person, but in the cases of a delinquency, the legal custodian and the guardian are possibly then two different individuals. And if the grandfather or an uncle, for instance, is designated by the court to be the guardian, but the child is a delinquent, it is up to the department's division of corrections to say where that child will live. In an institution, a foster home, group home. It's not up to the uncle, the guardian, in that particular case, to determine that if the child is delinquent. And the legal custody of that child is given to the department. It's up to the department to determine where, who shall have physical care and control of that child, not the guardian. And this carefully spells that out, which responsibilities are for the guardian and which are for the person or department having the custody. Otherwise, we have this constant confusion between who does what, which we have right now.
But I guess I'm thinking when you open the possibility that, you know, it can be another kind of appointment of responsibility for a kid by court order, one more than what we have now, to me that does nothing to clarify the situation. It only makes it worse.
Well, I guess I don't see, maybe it's affected in you, but I don't see that this is a problem. There are, I would think, in the state, and I have been around a lot to see those youngsters who have a legal guardian other than their natural parent.
Yeah, but as I said before, only for purposes of property. See, otherwise, why?
What if there are
Yeah, if the parent doesn't want any responsibility for the child, and yet parental rights have not been terminated. And parents, in the case of a runaway, parents just don't want anything to do with that
child.
Well,
that's
don't
too bad. They still have responsibility for that child under the law, unless their parental rights are terminated.
Okay, but say we go to the parents
child
and want to get a permission for an abortion. And that parent says, I don't want any responsibility for that.
We have the option right now that the court then can order that to be done without the appointment of a guardian, except as a guardian ad litem for the legal.
Yeah, well,
we're saying here
that up
the
there.
Court would
yeah.
appoint a guardian who would then make that decision. That and other related decisions, such as marriage, such as pulling the plug on a person.
Medical care.
Well, then, yeah, to me it seems like you're adding that dimension you don't need to. Then why couldn't that uncle who's willing to do that become a physical custodian? Why couldn't legal custody be custody of that?
In most cases, it would be. But in the case of delinquency, the department would want to have matters, say, over matters concerning where the child's going to live. And,
Do they have to? Is that not one of the options under delinquency adjudication that the court can decide who, with whom and where the child shall live?
I don't want it that way.
Yeah, but you have some. We didn't make any money.
Oh, yeah, it's highly personalized. I'm trying to think about my kids. I really don't see these issues clearly enough, I guess. To understand what all these situations are, that we may be putting on. I may be alone in this. I don't think I don't.
Well, there are three steps, if I may interrupt. There are three types of services that a child needs to have. The physical care and control and education, food, shelter, medical care, normal medical care, those kind of things. Then there are those special cases where legal rights are involved, such as consent to marriage, consent to major medical treatment, consent to military service, responsibility for legal, certain legal matter. And then there's visitation, right to support and responsibility for support, and adoption. We see them in those three categories. We're trying to clearly delineate who has responsibility for each and every one of these areas. And I don't want the department saying, you know, adopting my kids out to someone else, as long as I'm living, and parental rights are not in the center. But I can see that there may, in some case of my incapacity, mental incapacity, for instance, having to make decisions, somebody having to make decisions about whether they shall marry, if they're underage, whether she'll have a major medical care.
If you're a patient of API, and let's say you're the only, your child's only living parent, and you're a patient of API, and your 16-year-old wants to get married, but for this present 6 month period, for instance, you're not capable of making any decisions. Therefore, that child should have a guardian or a something.
A guardian
who would say, yes, I think that's reasonable for you to get married at this point, and hope it's okay with your old dad and you. Okay.
Yeah, see, I'd have some trouble with that.
What do we, you leave that child, wait
yeah,
6 months?
Yeah.
No, the court can take that matter under advisement and exercise its jurisdiction over the child and write such an order. You see, we've got that kind of protection right now. That it's inherent in the jurisdiction of the court. Yes.
The court can get that permission.
Just like I said, it can order or give permission for like an abortion or the marriage or the military service or whatever. Just as it has, in a sense, the right, of course, to sever your parental rights and put a kid for adoption. I think that exists now. I have no trouble getting another person.
What if there's no adoption? Nobody wants to adopt a kid. You know, the court severs parental rights. It's a hard place job. Nobody wants to adopt.
We got that all fixed up.
We're going to give them money.
In many cases, that's true.
But see, then are you saying then enter guardian who will take over the kid?
These certain responsibilities, the guardian may not want that kid living with them. Therefore, the court will have to appoint legal custody to the department who will provide for the care of the child.
That I would see is the one case where what John's talking about really fits and what, you know, handicapped kids, you know, or so on, where parental rights may have been terminated, but there may be a relative or someone who is willing to be the guardian but cannot provide for a person in their home. And so there is a custodian at that point, but all the other rights reside in the guardian, except the care, the shelter. You know.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're saying guardian, you're sort of, I think, presuming that a guardian might be appointed after the child is in legal custody. However, I know children who have guardians, parental rights have not been terminated, and then they find themselves in legal custody.
Yep.
I know two cases of this, and this, you know, helps spell out just who rights and responsibilities are along the way.
Was that guardianship of a person and not of the property or the estate of
the family? Well, then again, he just called himself guardian.
All my background and training and history and has all been to think in terms of guardianship as guardianship of the property.
Sure.
And that when legal custody is awarded by the court, inherent in that is guardianship of the person.
He brought the child to Alaska as his guardian. I mean, as guardian of the child, he brought the child to Alaska. So this did not take place in Alaska. And I don't know.
Well, because I think there's another important thing that we haven't commented on, and that is also that the court has at its option
And it seemed like in 572 we specified that, as we were talking about guardian ad litem, that the court in its order should get more specific than it has gotten about whose responsibility what things are. For instance, the court can now vest in the legal custodian the right to consent to medical treatment, you know, major medical treatment. Many of the things which are here, you know, short of consenting to adoption, if parentalized have not been terminated, so that that is now possible, maybe to the legal, to the legal custodian.
And I'm having difficulty seeing what you're saying, the difference between custodian and guardian.
My problem is I'm not sure that with the exception of guardian of the property, there is much difference and that there ought to be. Because then we get into what John's concerned about, and I am too in a way, but this doesn't seem to handle it, and that is the business of, so I give legal custody to the department. Then they place the kid with a foster parent, and thus say, you are now his guardian.
Mm-hmm. No, the department cannot say that. Only the court could say.
Well, then what does the department do? Go back to the court and say, now we're legal custodian, but we want to give the kid to the Smiths who are going to be his foster parent. You give him guardianship?
If that's the best interest of the child.
Well, then what would be, if there's a living parent, what would be the purpose in the department keeping any of the legal custody?
The parent is an unfit parent. Or doesn't want the child.
Well, then, so what does the guardian do when the department comes and wants to take the kid back? The department says, you're not a good foster parent, and so we're not going to let you be guardian. We're going to go to say to the court, you shouldn't be guardian anymore. Then you go back to the court, and the court says, no, you can't be, and gives it back to the kid, the department to place with somebody else?
If they could present a good case that the person was not fulfilling their responsibilities as guardian. Now, guardian's different than custodian.
Andy, do you have any comments to make on this? You're falling asleep or you're...
No, just listening to the news, and they have the same problem that I've had. I think one problem is that we seem to be looking for the worst possible situation in trying to deal with it, you know. And I really don't think you can. Again, it's a matter of taking a chance of relying on the court to resolve a matter of, if someone has a controversy concerning how far a certain person's guardianship over a child went, or what a parent's residual rights included. I just don't think we can really get to the fine line of where the cutoff is. Aspect, and I would also add that I would prefer seeing only one term used instead of guardian and custodian, only guardian, specified for the purposes of this chapter and when you define it. If you have custodian, then you're going to have to define that, which means you're going to have some kind of arbitrary barrier between the two when in some states the custodian is regarded really as the guardian, and a lot of states have defined one guardian of the estate, guardian of the person, whereas Pud, you were thinking now in terms of guardian of the estate, custodian of the person. I would just prefer one term, just guardian, for the purposes of this chapter, and since we're dealing generally with the child's welfare, you're looking at basically at the person rather than his estate. It may come in, but it's really minor. I don't know of any cases where there's been huge, property disputes under 4710, and with the state or a foster parent is done with it. Generally, though, if there is, that would come under what the native claims thing, which is appointed separate as under Title 45, or you may have a child whose parents have died and the child's been found to be dependent. Okay, well, the child comes up, let's say, could have a guardian under the person appointed under 4710. Let's say a foster parent. But his parent, his late parent's estate would be dealt with under the probate code. I mean, you can't change that. And so, it'd be separate. And 4710, no matter how you define a guardian of your estate, wouldn't apply. The probate code takes precedence. Just keep it sort of as guardian of the person.
Yes, sir.
That idea.
I'd like to know that you can clarify this definition of guardian.
All right. We're talking about your definition of guardian, right? Okay.
In most cases, except where perhaps delinquency was involved or the guardian didn't want to have them provide care for the child, the legal custody and the guardian are one and the same, are with one and the same person. I think that's what you're saying, but you know, that's what you're saying. Now, if we can look at this sentence by sentence, and because all this verbiage comes together, maybe it makes it look more confusing than I think we have it set forth here. If we could go down this definition line by line, it says, guardian with respect to a child means the right and responsibility to important decisions in matters having a permanent effect on the life and development of the child, to be concerned about the general welfare of the child. A person may be appointed guardian of the child or removed as such guardian only by court order. Now, think of this in terms of a new paragraph. The rights and responsibilities of a guardian include, but are not necessarily limited to, one, the right and responsibility of reasonable detention, two, consent to marriage, three, consent to military enlistment, four, consent to make a medical treatment, five, to represent the child in legal action, six, to make decisions of substantial legal significance concerning the child, seven, to make other decisions concerning the child, which ordinarily be made by parents of the child, and eight, the rights and responsibilities of legal custody, except where legal custody has been vested in another individual or the department. I'd like to underline that. The rights and responsibilities of legal custody, except where legal custody has been vested in another individual or the department. And then this should be a new sentence. The authority to consent to adoption of the child when the parent-child relationship has been terminated by court order or where no, there is no legal parent. Now that stands out, that's separated from the responsibilities, because that applies only when there is no parent-child relationship.
Do you have comments on that?
One comment is, legal rights and responsibilities of the guardian include but not necessarily limited to right and responsibility, reasonable to adjudicate for the marriage, etc. That conflicts with the individual parental rights and responsibilities definition, where you still have that with the parent, and again...
At what?
Well, you have a responsibility, right and responsibility of reasonable visitation, consent to adoption.
That's not a residual parental. Oh, consent to adoption.
Is it consent to marriage?
No.
You've got that. And I've got it written. I've got part of it written in pen, and the rest typed in. Consent to military enlistment. I was just thinking of.
The next sentence goes on to clarify that when a guardian has been appointed, those rights and responsibilities of parent include, but are not necessary.
Wait, yeah, but I didn't understand that. Okay, when a guardian has been appointed, those rights and responsibilities of parent. But this is only mentioned talking about the parent. That last sentence on the residual rights and responsibilities. Is that for defining the guardian's rights and responsibilities, or what the parents are? I didn't understand that.
The above, in those rights and responsibilities set forth in the sentence above, then are limited.
So the guardian has been appointed, the above rights and responsibilities of the parent do not include, and see that? The above?
Do not include the above, but are limited then to the right to reasonable visitation, responsibility put forth an authority to set you up, period, that's all, when there's a guardian appointment.
I don't know, I mean, I gotta admit, you know, a lot of this is really good. The only problem is, I don't know how the legislature would deal with it. And also, still, you haven't touched really on the problem of when an agency like yours is given, has custody of a child, you want to make a decision.
We never have custody. We have only the care of the child, period.
And you said there's an issue as to who can make the decision, right? This doesn't clear that up, right?
That's right.
Okay, well, that's what I tried getting around to when I defined guardian. So I was thinking of maybe tie in some of my definitions somewhere on yours would really have a sweeping thing.
So parents going to discuss the special absence of the Department of Movement and the custody of child delegates to the responsibility. Is that presently the case right now?
They do. They delegate to us the responsibility for the physical care and control.
Okay. What are the things that they don't delegate to us?
Well, they couldn't delegate to us responsibility. I don't see them having the right to delegate to us responsibility or the privilege of signing for major medical.
Or to determine where and within the child can live.
Right.
Okay, but you can train and to limited extent for discipline.
Would anybody like to make a motion on this?
For the next meeting, so that we can have time to explore this and maybe talk to some people with other problems with it. I'd really like to hear a judge on this matter, frankly.
Andy, I would like to suggest that you talk to the judge who is going to sign with our agency.
No, and I'm coming back. Okay. I don't know, maybe if, well, first of all, I don't get any kind of consensus of where the problem is here. It's just maybe between Fudge and John and myself, we haven't, what we have is just too much or too little. We don't have, you know, the exact problem in focus. Because I certainly can't write any more, or I'm sure John, and, you know, maybe if we just do it at the legislature as it is and let them battle it out. I don't know.
Yeah. I didn't get a second to motion to table, so I'll move to committee. Let them come back with a better definition of where we are, since none of us have seen.
But what's the, I mean, besides Pudge, I mean, I really haven't heard enough on
the problem. Can I go back?
Just a second. There is a motion that is for a committee to be established to re-examine this, and do I hear a second to the motion?
Did you say the rest, baby?
I don't know what I'm voting for.
Well, if it's time for discussion on that motion, I don't know, we've had a committee, and I'm not sure that got us much farther than we thought we were when we were trying to hash this out before.
Well, maybe if you were on the committee.
Well, she was. She was.
Oh, you were?
Yeah.
Ah.
Well, I was. I'm not ever sure I really was, but... Because
well,
I was
all right, so it was you and Dick and...
Mark. You were at the turning point.
I would like to suggest, however, you did not have Andy's material. Is that correct?
Well, Andy's, we had the Andy's material from the previous meeting.
Well, because, wait a minute, something is coming to me that, what about the possibility of saying, it, when we get down to defining guardian, because that's really the only one that we're really having a lot of problem with. Supposing we simply approached it by saying, guardian or guardianship is inherent, the responsibilities of guardianship are inherent in the award of legal custody, unless otherwise so awarded by the court, or in other words, face the fact that this almost never happens. And so don't muddy the waters anymore, but simply to say that, you know, if guardianship is awarded, the rights and responsibilities of it must be clearly delineated by the court, period, or some damn thing like that, and not...
I have a question. I just haven't heard very many people talking about what the problem is here, and I wanted to see why this is so necessary. I wanted to know if it's a consensus of the group, first of all, before we decide about the committee, whether we definitely need a definition of legal custody.
I think we do of legal custody, yes, and I think we do of residual parental rights and responsibilities, yes.
And
if the definition of guardian is hanging us out.
Other people don't have any opinion?
But, it, I mean,